unequivocally to stand up against the oppression of the Zionist state of Israel.
Are making sure that our voices are with those who are oppressed. That we would be standing with those who are oppressed, no matter who they are and no matter where they are.
Free, free Palestine!
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 Everyone, free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
For Palestine!
Freedom!
For Palestine!
Justice!
For Palestine!
Freedom! For Palestine!
Today, dear brothers and sisters, we do not just come here today as Muslims, but we come here today as human beings. And alhamdulillah, when I look at you and I look out in the audience, I see not just Muslims, not just people that just came here just because we may have an interest, but I see your humanity. And this is something very important that we must stress to the people as well as to the world.
We Muslims, and we people of faith will stand up for that. When God sees that in us, that we'll stand up against all sorts of oppression, we are willing to make our voice heard, we are not intimidated by how few we are in number, then inshallah we hope that yes, we will be delivered. So we're here to give this message to the world, to God, to the Imam of the time, that he know that we are not those people who are indifferent to oppression. All we can do is speak. That is what we are doing. We're speaking. We are letting our voices be known. We want the world to know. We want God to know that we are not with those who oppress. We stand against them, and we do everything that we can to stop tyranny. I thank you, dear brothers and sisters. People are fasting. It is hot out here, small in number, but God sees this.
Gathered here today on the International Quds Day to remember the oppressed people of Quds, Jerusalem, and Palestine. We are here to decry the ongoing crimes committed against the people of Palestine and to condemn the decades-long occupation of the land of Palestine. Presently, we are standing at the first anniversary of the last Zionist war in Gaza. The images of those events are still in front of our eyes. We should remember them, and we should do all in our ability.
Don't live Palestine!
Don't live Palestine!
Don't live
Palestine!
Don't live
Palestine!
Don't live
Palestine!
Don't live Palestine!
Don't live Palestine!
Don't live Palestine!
Long 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 live
Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
No more lying!
No killing! No more war!
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. To Thee alone we serve, and Thee do we beseech for help. Keep us on the right path, the path of those upon whom Thou hast bestowed favors, not the path of those upon whom Thy wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have this opportunity again this year, as has become a tradition now for some years, to have with us our brothers from Nutere Karta, Rabbi David Feldman and Rabbi Hochhauser, who are here visiting. Rabbi Feldman for at least the second year in a row, and Rabbi Hochhauser from what I know the first time, but we welcome them both. And are appreciative of, first and foremost, their willingness and their courage to stand up for truth and for Haq, and to stand with us and to be leading voices amongst their community for the cause that is near and dear to our hearts and a religious obligation, that being the matter of Al-Quds. They were again present with their full spirits yesterday in the rally, and we appreciate their participation always, and we pray for their success in all endeavors of their life. And of course, we have with us, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, world-renowned scholarship, and someone who we've had the pleasure of listening to and learning from the last 8 days, Hujjatul Islam, Maulana Osama Abdul Ghani, who is here. We have the pleasure of our local ulama who are here right now, Sheikh Ali, who is here and is always present and is always a member of this effort of Al-Quds and other efforts throughout the year, and we pray for their success. And of course, our resident alim, Maulana Sayyid Nafis Taqwi, for whose leadership we are grateful for, and we pray for all of their success. Just a quick breakdown of what's going to happen. We're going to allow all of our speakers to speak for a few minutes, and then the final half an hour of the program will be a question and answer. Of course, I don't need to remind anyone, but as is standard, we request that everybody maintain the dignity of the center and the program by absolutely keeping conversations to a nil in this hall. And if you need to have a conversation or address anything or take care of children, then we ask that you please move out of this hall. For the question and answer session, there will be note cards that will be passed out, note cards on the brother's side and then note cards on the sister's side. We request that you write down your question as legibly as possible and then pass them up toward the front, and they will be answered as they can be in order. Without further ado, we invite our resident alim, Hujjatul Islam, Maulana Sayyid Nafis Taqwi, to introduce the event, to welcome our guest speakers, and to get things started off. And we welcome him with the loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani al-la'in ar-rajim, bismillahir rahman ar-rahim, wa bihi nasta'in, wa huwa khairun nasirin. سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. جعل الحق زهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. It is the true, it surely comes, and باطل surely go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used both of the past tense. Past tense is the confirm. Future is not confirm. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talks about the Qiyamah Day of Judgment, use past tense. Because the Qiyamah is the surely. Confirm. So brother and sister, once again we welcome to Rabbi David Fleidman and Rabbi Shai Hauser in Atlanta City. It is a great opportunity. You're most welcome in Zainabia Islamic Education Center, and all other scholars, Brother Sheikh Ali and Brother Aziz Osama Abdul Ghani. This is a great time to get together because the humanity for everybody, taqaddus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everybody, red line for humanity is for everybody, freedom for everybody. So why we sit down silence, we get together. And this is the truth. When I am asking lonely, somebody thinking I am begging. But when we collect and get together asking, oh, this is fighting for their rights. It's the difference between the single and get together. And always leadership was in hand of holy books and prophets and the religion. So why we keep sit down and silent and hear and looking for the zulm? We once again stand up for the against the zulm. And yesterday was maybe we are 200 people, and nobody can say we not hear what they say. The thousands of people, everybody have a two ear, they have an ear. If 1,000 people hear, 2,000 hears, is the witness, day of judgment. Yes, we hear about the victim, we hear about the zulm of Zionists, but we was silent, but those 200 people was talking about the rights. So I'm not taking the more time because we have a good opportunity. We need to know more and more about the course, about the mission, how we can reach our goal, and one day everybody get together can prayer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in peace of, with the peace of mind and peaceful atmosphere. So I am thanking again our accept our request, and inshallah you hear about the Israel and Zionism, what is the difference between the Zionism and Judaism. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khairi khalqihi wa khatim wa amir al-mursaleen. سيد الأولين وآخرين شفي مزدبين رحمة العالمين محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين قالت الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحكم إلا لله يخص الحق وهو الخير الفاصلين صدق الله ولي العظيم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, it is, again, a great honor and opportunity to be able to come before you today, this evening. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving all of you the tawfiq to come out. And I also want to take a moment and just recognize and offer all of the brothers and sisters that was able to come out yesterday. I mean, we were down there in some very sweltering heat, but subhanAllah, I didn't hear anybody really complaining. And alhamdulillah, we stood down there and we stood up for justice and we stood against oppression. And that is a good thing. Even though I was tired, alhamdulillah, and kind of sore today when I woke up, but alhamdulillah, it was for a good cause. SubhanAllah. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
No matter what the opposition to humanity say, record or do not record. While we were down there, a lady came up to me and asked me a question. One of the questions she asked, really several questions, but one of the questions she asked, just a civilian, what was the reason or the purpose we were down here for. And I began to explain to her briefly, and I said to her, we're down there for the cause of our brothers and sisters being oppressed in Palestine. But I also said to her that we're not only down here just for the brothers and sisters in Palestine, but we're down here trying to bring attention to that issue primarily, but also the issue of injustice and oppression worldwide, including the injustice that goes on and take place here as well. Because sometimes it is maybe a little more easier for us to talk about oppression taking place in other parts of the world and fail to realize or recognize or want to deal with what's happening right here, okay? I mean, alhamdulillah, you know, we have things that are occurring, okay, every day. And, you know, it's almost like it's invisible. But alhamdulillah, when people see us standing downtown, like the lady saw me standing downtown the other day, when she asked me, what are you trying to achieve? You know, like, what is your objective? And I said, well, one of our objectives is to bring attention to this issue, you know, the issue of oppression that is taking place there. So she said, well, who are you? Like, what are your religion? You know, are you a Muslim or, you know, are you Christian? You know, what do you believe in? So I said, you know, we're Muslims. So she said, oh, well, you know, right now, I don't know if you know or not, but the Muslims don't have a real good name now. So I said to her, I said, well, I pointed to the building we were standing in front of. I said, one of the reasons why that perception is out there is because of this building, which is CNN, okay? I said, if you look at a lot of our brothers and sisters, fellow human beings, okay, African Americans, I said, you see that if you look in the news, you would think that, you know, a large percentage of us are criminals. I said, but in reality, okay, this is not true. Okay, we go to work every day, we're raising our families, okay, you know what I mean? We're law-abiding citizens. But the media doesn't reflect that reality. And I said, and I used that as an example to show her how do we get into the perception that we have the misconception about ourselves as Muslims, okay? Because what these people have actually tried to do, they have criminalized the whole religion. And they have tried to put us in a position that where we always have to be explaining ourselves or explaining something that someone else did. To try to say, you know, well, I'm sorry about this, or I wasn't with them, or they don't represent me. Nobody else has to go through this. So I said the same way we're dealing with that, and we've gotten into this misconception, is the same way how we see how the world may see Islam today. But on another point, you know, I spoke about our humanity the other day. And I don't care what religion or faith you're from. If you can't see me as a human being, okay, because of my color, the color of my skin, or the clothes I wear, or the particular country I may be from, or language I speak, there's something wrong with you. There's a disconnect. Or there's something wrong with that religion. Okay, and this is true not only of Christianity or Judaism. You find this in Islam as well. You have people that's out here that they refer to as Daesh. They don't refer to these people as terrorists. Okay, they refer to them as the Islamic State. Any other time they will be referring to them as terrorists, but they actually call them the Islamic State. But these people do not represent Islam. But they have projected these people as the face of Islam. And I said to the lady, back to the lady before I can conclude that I spoke to yesterday, you know, I said to her that if we were down here and there was an incident, okay, some type of violence or something, you would see all of the cameras suddenly appear out of the CNN building.
But being that we're standing down there and we're at peace, and we're calling for peace, and we're standing against injustice, you don't see any of them. And she said, you know what? You're right. You know? So anyway, when we finished having the conversation, she left it with a whole different perspective of Islam. You know, we are, as Allah has told us in the Quran, He has created us from one soul. And from that soul He created His mate. He's told us that He have created us in different variations, in different shapes and sizes and colors and languages. But in reality, we come from one soul. There's one God, okay? So the Tawheed is built into the creation itself. And even though there we may come from different religious traditions, okay? The Quran tells us that all of the prophets taught the belief in one God. It doesn't matter who they were sent to. So inshallah, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have more days like yesterday. Inshallah, that we can come together and stand up for justice and equality for everyone across the board. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless. Thank you.
And I really appreciate, first of all, the host here, the Zanabiya Education Center, Islamic Center, and the Sheikhs, the Molana. I really appreciate you having us here. It's really an honor for me for the second time to be here to share with you some thoughts that you might not have the opportunity to hear elsewhere. First of all, I really relate to the point that the Sheikh mentioned before about having a religion hijacked, or having this face in front of a religion to get this false image. We very much relate to this point. We feel this in Judaism as well. This is unfortunately a sad happening amongst our people, amongst our religion also. As everybody knows, the news, CNN and other news outlets are using those militant people out there in the front and put them on the screen to show an image of Judaism, which is totally wrong, as in the case of Islam. There is a question that many people ask: how come that we witness this occupation in Palestine already for decades? We witness these atrocities taking place for decades and in our time. It's not only what our grandparents told us, it's what we witness today. And still in all, very few people stand up to speak about it. People ask themselves, how come I don't do enough? And everybody asks this question. There are many answers to this. One of the issues I find is one of the greatest obstacles here is the issue that people would never like to fight Almighty God. Nobody likes to fight a religion. Nobody likes to fight an ethnic group, which ends up with the famous accusation of anti-Semitism. If you speak up against State of Israel, you're anti-Semite. And if you're Jewish and you speak up, then what? Self-hating Jew. That's right. Now, why? Why do people feel this way, and why would people accuse this way? And the reason for this is a very sad point. The point is the confusion between Judaism and Zionism. It's because the political movement of Zionism had succeeded, are successful by confusing the masses. And as we spoke before, this CNN screen educates this. To have the people believe that Zionism, the political movement of Zionism, creating this political state, and the traditional religion of Judaism is all one and the same. Now, one of the famous issues that is always being raised, and it's so embarrassing and so painful, when we find Bibi Netanyahu standing in front of Congress in Washington, D.C. just not very long ago, standing up and speaking about verses of Judaism, and speaking about religious concepts. And we're talking about a secular Jew, doesn't observe anything within Judaism, doesn't fast on Yom Kippur, And, well, nothing. Doesn't keep the Sabbath. Nothing. Doesn't eat kosher. And would use religion to justify whatever he would like to present. I was once sitting on the international, it's the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people in the United Nations. It's an annual day. And it was like 2 or 3 years ago, I sat in the General Assembly, and that Israeli ambassador to the United Nations stands up, without a cover on his head, stands up and speaks about religion. How embarrassing. The famous quote they always say is the promised land. It's a land promised to the Jewish people. God promised the Holy Land to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a famous concept that everybody would use to justify all what Israel is doing. And if you criticize, then you're criticizing Judaism, you're criticizing the Holy Torah, you're criticizing God. God forbid. Now this is all wrong, and let's just stress on this one point, and that will be enough, at least for short, to understand what's going on. And it's very important. Now the concept of the Promised Land is a true concept. It is in the Torah. God promised the Holy Land for the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this is one side of the coin. There is the second side of the coin nobody would speak about. And this should be considered falsehood if you just show one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that it was promised to the children of Israel on condition. If you would remain in the land in the level of holiness that God requires of you, you would remain in the land. Otherwise, you would be expelled. And this is very clear. It's twice a verse in the Torah. It says, "V'loisuki huuretz eschem betamachem oisa." The land should not reject you because you defile it. In other words, if you would defile the land, then God, the land would reject you, basically. Unfortunately, this is what happened. It was several hundred years later. Let's go back a step. This promise was fulfilled. The Jews were brought into the Holy Land. This was 40 years after they were taken out from Egypt by Prophet Moses. 4 years later, they were brought into the Holy Land. And the promise was fulfilled. Several hundred years later, God was not pleased of the behavior of the people at the time. God warned the Jews through the prophets that unless they would repent to the level that God requires, they would be expelled from the land. And unfortunately, this is what happened. And this was about 2,000 years ago by the destruction of the temple, where the temple was destroyed and the Jews were driven into exile. Now, this concept of exile was considered a divine decree, not a lack of physical power. This was a direct divine decree. This was the will of God. And this was, sadly, unfortunately, but accepted by all Jews throughout all generations, without any exception. Nobody ever denied the concept of exile, and that, as religious Jews, followers of God, we have to accept this, whether it is comfortable or not. Now again, this was accepted by all Jewish people throughout all generations, until approximately 130 years ago, when these founders of the philosophy of Zionism stood up. And these people were not religious scholars, they were not Jewish rabbis, they were outspoken heretics, hating God and hating religion. They happened to come from Jewish descent, but they had no connection at all to the Jewish religion. And they came up with this brilliant solution to this physical problem that Jewish people have. And they totally ignored that there is something religious behind all of this. There is something spiritual behind all of this. The concept of exile is meant to be a punishment, to have those people who are punished repent and turn back to God, and not turn their backs to God. Ever since the beginning of this philosophy of Zionism, all religious leaders, with a very small exception, maybe five out of all of them. And these all religious leaders opposed Zionism. The main Jewish community were in Europe at the time, Russia, and almost all religious leaders opposed it, including the religious community in Palestine at the time. Unfortunately, after the Holocaust, when the majority of the Jewish people were killed, the vast majority of Jewish leadership were wiped out, and there was remaining a desperate people, desperate for rescue, desperate for a safe haven. And then, at that point, the Zionist people came and promised those desperate people everything. Just come to us and we'll save you. Many of them were ignorant. Some of them did understand what's going on, but they had no choice. We would not be the people to judge those people, but they were real desperate. And at that point, which is what, 70 some years ago, at that point, the philosophy of Zionism started to come in amongst the Jewish people. But again, it was opposed and still is opposed by masses of Jewish people worldwide. But we have to remember that this state of Israel does not represent anything Jewish. They would use all kinds of Jewish symbols. They would misuse Jewish verses, as I said before, to justify whatever they are doing and to justify all the criminal acts they are doing. They would do anything they can. They would use anything they can. They would do any falsehood possible to silence you, to silence me, to silence whoever dares to stand up and to condemn and to oppose what they are doing. For example, they're using the Star of David, which is an old traditional Jewish symbol. This was never meant to symbolize materialism. This is to symbolize the four corners of the world, the top and the bottom, where God rules over. This is considered a Star of David, going back to King David at the time. King David was a spiritual person. He wrote the Psalms. King David was not about a mighty king. He was about a spiritual king that led his people in spirituality. They usurped our name, Israel. They are using our concept of Jews and Judaism for what? For a wicked movement and to commit all sorts of crimes. And, on top of all, to turn their back to Almighty God. Nobody would say that this state of Israel is about religion. The most they can say is they would be a democracy and allow religion in their state, which is not true. They oppress religion. They oppress Jewish religion in the state of Israel. It's a secular movement. It's a secular state. And it's a state which is against God and against Jewish religion. Yes, they would allow it to a certain extent where they feel it doesn't affect them. Once the religious practice will affect their heretic movement, they would oppress it, and they do. They oppress our people in Jerusalem, they oppress our people in other places. And when it comes to the point where they feel affected from what? From the practice of our religion. Now again, they don't represent the Jewish people, they don't represent Jewish religion. There is nothing Jewish in the state of Israel other than the name Jewish they are using, or the name Israel they are using. They are misusing. Again, Jewish people all over the world, whether you would find large, strong communities who would be strong enough to come out in public, or you would find smaller communities, as in Atlanta, Georgia, where you would find individual people that would be against Israel, but not in an organized way that they can manage to come out in public. And we find this all the time. It's really encouraging when we visit Atlanta. We were here yesterday, and I listened to some talks here before. When people of the Jewish religion and of the Muslim religion are very clear by what we are speaking about. When we criticize Israel, we have to be very specific and very clear. We are talking about an injustice taking place. We're not talking about an ethnic group of people. We're not talking about a religion. We can respect a religion. We can respect a people. We have nothing against people as people. We are against violence. We are against oppression. We are against atrocities taking place. We are against occupation. And we should condemn it. We should speak up. If we all will not stand up and speak up, who would? And who would speak up if, God forbid, it shouldn't happen? If we would be oppressed, who would stand up? We have to stand up for justice, we have to stand up for righteousness, and we have to condemn evil, whether it's from other people or from our people. We pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the State of Israel, this illegitimate movement which is causing death and destruction, and uprooting of religion for other people and for the Jewish people. And we hope once this political movement will end, and we believe it will end, God would not allow it to succeed forever. There is a verse in the Torah says, "V'lomuzei atu oivrim espi Hashem v'hiloi sitzlach." Why are you violating the word of Almighty God? It will not be successful. God allows evil for a specific amount of time, but not forever. This will stop. We hope it should stop in our lifetime. We hope we should be able to see once again that beautiful peace that did exist amongst peoples from many backgrounds, from many cultures, including Palestine. There was a Jewish community, a minority, but a sizable Jewish community in Palestine before all this started. They were living in excellent peace. We have documentation on this. We have stories about this. And I'm sure you have from your communities many stories about this. And we should really look forward for the day when we can see this once again. And once this will be ended, then religious people would be able to practice their religion freely without this, all of this intimidation. Ultimately, we pray that the glory of the Almighty should be revealed throughout the universe. All mankind together should serve the one God in peace and harmony soon in our days. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Wa ala ahli bayt al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'asumin la siyama baqiyatullah fil-aradhin ruhi wa arwahu al-alamin lahul fidah. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yasir li amri wa ahlul uqtatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Dear brothers and sisters, respected scholars, it's a real honor to be here amongst you. I really benefited by the talks. I made little notes about each one of the talks and what they addressed. I like the idea when Maulana was addressing us and giving us guidance about the idea of universal values and collectively demanding rights for the oppressed. Really like that. I like the idea when Sheikh Ali was speaking about the idea of connecting the dots. We're not just talking about oppression overseas. It is not that we, let's say a lot of us who are in this crowd, for instance, are immigrant Muslims, that we are identifying with a foreign problem. Rather, we say we're against oppression wherever it is, whether it be from us as Muslims, whether it be from anybody else, whether it be from the US government, whether it be police brutality, whatever it is, we're against oppression. So I really like that. And also, I like the idea of dispelling the myth that Daesh represents Islam. Inshallah, in my own notes, I want to explain a little bit about that that's there. When the rabbi was speaking, I was reminded of a hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen that says, Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajal farajum. Where in the tradition it tells us this, people are enemies of that which they don't know. People are enemies of that which they don't know. It's kind of a nice experience. We are actually discussing the story of Moses and him meeting God and talking to him for the first time in our own lectures here. The brother named the city as Madian, we call it Madian. We say that God, Moses was a shepherd. Of course, now, one thing we don't want to get, and one thing I feel is beautiful about a discussion like this, is none of us are trying to pretend that we're not a separate religion. They're here to represent their faith. They're saying, this is what we understand.
But one thing that happens is if we talk a little bit about our faith, we realize we're very similar on some core values. Yes, the Sharia, the code of laws that we are following as Muslims is different. We don't say that that's different. But the idea of one God, of prophethood, of Moses being a prophet, he referred to David as a king. We say that David was a king, but we also believe in the Muslim tradition that he was a prophet, that he was connected to God. So what the point being that we find that if we kind of share our values, when we don't want another, then I'm a monster. You're a monster. I don't know. You're out to get me. But once we talk a little bit, we find out that many of our values are actually the same, and we can coexist, and we have been coexisting. Inshallah, I'll talk about that when I talk about our solution. Another beautiful point that I liked and I benefited from his speech was the idea that, at least for us as Muslims, what happens is, I'm sure brothers recognize this, sometimes as Muslims, and now being the subject of Islamophobia, sometimes we're apologetic about our faith, and we're almost, like Shaykh Ali was saying, always on the defensive, always frightened, scared, right? But one of the lessons that I felt we could gain from what the rabbi shared with us was the idea of, he very clearly, I mean, he's representing the Jewish faith, and he's saying very clearly, being against the state of Israel is not being against Jews or Judaism. That one should feel fearful. I am an anti-Semite. People think I'm a terrorist. No, very clearly and very loudly explain your views. How do you feel about the state of Israel? How do you feel about your Jewish brothers and sisters? Explain without any fear, shame, hiding. I'm going to pretend I'm something else. No, openly. Right? What you say. And be that voice and that light, inshallah. Now, the points that I wanted to shake after thanking all of our speakers for their contributions, one of them was the idea of what we feel kind of the solution is. Two solutions. One of them, a temporary solution, and then the other is related to the solution that the rabbi mentioned. The first solution, which we feel is one which anybody, everybody will be able to accept, is that the idea that the original inhabitants of the land, the Jewish community that was there, the Christian community that was there, those Muslims who were there, and those children of those individuals, those people return to their land. The original inhabitants of the land return to the land. Whether they be Jewish, whether they might be Muslim, whether they be Christian, whether whoever they are, return to the land. Those are people, one man, one vote, whatever they decide, whatever government they want to have, we will all recognize that. We don't feel that there's any need for us to impose any sort of government. But they're human beings. They have the right to self-determination. And whoever they are, whether they be Jewish or Muslim or Christian, they have the right to self-determination. We're not going to apologize for that. We're not going to say it's wrong, right? Nor feel intimidated. But the other real solution, and that's kind of why we're all gathered here tonight, is that we're looking for a solution for mankind, for all of mankind. We believe that in the end of time, man will worship God. We believe in a savior for mankind. We don't believe that we call the Mahdi, the savior who we believe in, we call the Mahdi. It doesn't mean that we think that he's only here to save Muslims. Yes, we believe that we have to prepare the grounds for his arrival. We don't believe in sitting back and just sitting and letting God save us. No, if we are opposed to oppression, we have to stand up, we have to come out, we have to say our voices, he has to be supported, right? But we believe in a solution for all of mankind. We believe the Mahdi will come to liberate mankind from tyranny, right? So a temporary solution, if you say, well, what is your political solution? Why is it that you're marching for Palestine? We say one man, one vote, whoever those original inhabitants are. But more than that, what we feel is that if God sees in us the idea that we're willing to stand up for justice, then God will provide us with that savior. The last point that I want to mention is another one that I feel that as Muslims we have a responsibility towards, about. And that is that in the name of Islam is being tarnished, right? We're here to remember Palestine. We're not going to forget what our goal is by gathering here tonight. Why are we here? Because of this obvious and open oppression. But something else that is very interesting is the idea of what they call ISIS or the Takfiris or Daesh, right? The name or what they're doing is not religion, and we don't apologize for saying that that's not Islam, okay? I just want to share one verse of the Holy Quran, so Surah Mumtahina, and verse number 8, where God says in the Holy Quran that Allah has not forbidden us. We're talking about now non-Muslims, people who are not from our faith. Verse of the Quran. God has not forbidden us from doing acts of kindness and justice to those people who are not from our religion, who have not fought us because of our religion, and have not expelled us from our homes. Right? So my neighbors, when I walk across the street, how am I supposed, what does God tell me in the Quran? Right? He says that we do kindness and justice. Right? So that's the true Islamic way, that what you're seeing with Daesh, that doesn't represent us, and we don't hide with that. Incidentally, one of the things that we find which is very strange is these same individuals who are willing to slaughter and kill everybody, we don't actually see them fighting the state of Israel. Very interesting. That those people, they'll slaughter anybody. They'll kill you, a Muslim, whoever you are. You're a Muslim, you're a Shia, you're a Sunni, whoever you are. The Yazidi people over there, slaughtering them, burning people alive. Okay, well, you're so bloodthirsty, you'll kill anybody. Isn't Israel an obvious case of oppression? Aren't those our Sunni brethren who are there? How long has the occupation been going on? Not even one bullet, right? So why is it that these maniacs, they don't have a problem with Israel, but they're willing to slaughter and kill all the rest of us? So I'll just end with that. Jazakum Allah khairan. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for participating, and also our esteemed guests. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Minzbek and Rabbi Ben Sion Chazan, two older gentlemen who went out in a heroic act. They went over to the other side with this white flag symbolizing surrender. This was like an official act against the Zionist movement. They were shot, and thank God they were saved. It didn't reach them. And after this happened, there was a rumor that there is a group of people mobilizing for an act like this to show, express official surrender under the Arab rulership that were fighting the Zionist movement. And they were threatened that they will be killed. And that was the end of this story. This was maybe the first act of terror that began since 1948, but there were other occasions before that. The very first martyr of the hands of the Zionists, most probably, was that Jewish person. His name was Professor Dr. Dehan. He was originally from, I think, Denmark. He was originally a secular Jew searching for the truth. And while he was searching for his Jewish tradition, he reached Zionism. And he thought that this is the faith of Judaism, and that's what he is about to support. He started with the Zionism, and he right away felt that this is something wrong with that. This is not Judaism. He ended up in Jerusalem, and he met with Rabbi Sonnenfeld, who was the official chief rabbi of the traditional Jewish community in Palestine. And this chief rabbi was officially fighting this new philosophy of Zionism. And this Professor Dehan got a close relationship with this rabbi, and he was a diplomat. And he explained to the rabbi, how are you going to be successful against this political Zionist movement when you don't have this political background to have the skills how to fight them? I'm here to help you. And he was about to arrange some enormous actions. And he managed to get an appointment by the British Parliament in Britain. Well, before that, he made some meetings between the Rabbi Sonnenfeld and the Arab leadership. It was a famous Muslim Congress of Jerusalem, where he got Rabbi Sonnenfeld writing a letter to the Congress. He arranged a meeting that Rabbi Sonnenfeld met with, maybe it was King Hussein from Transjordan, would that be right, or Abdallah? I'm always mixing these names. Anyway, he made enormous steps. The final step was he was about to visit the Parliament in England to explain them how wrong this is to combine Zionism with Judaism, and that Zionism does not represent the Jewish population of Palestine. It was a couple of days before this meeting. It was, I think, one day before he was about to leave to England. He was praying his daily prayers in the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. It's a hospital in Jerusalem. And he had a partnership with a doctor. Oh, it slipped my mind. He was an Orthodox, observant Jewish doctor, a very famous doctor. He next to the doctor in Yerushalayim, is Eid Geisen? I'm so sorry, it slipped my mind. Anyway, he has his daily study with him in Torah studies, and then there was the evening prayer. After he concluded this evening prayer, he went on his way home, exit the doors of the hospital, he walked on the street, and people heard 3 shots of a gun, and he was shot dead. He was the first martyr of Zionism. And this is just 2 examples, but we can go on and on to today. I have a colleague of mine in Jerusalem. He was broken several of his bones by official members of the police in Israel. This happens all the time. Whoever dares to speak up, if you don't want to be intimidated, stay silent.
I mean, I guess I'm supposed to have both of these. The question is that what we can do, or what our efforts we can make in order to stop this oppression from happening. Now, one of the big ones that we can do, and I'm sure when I start speaking, other thoughts may come to the minds of the fellow speakers, and they'll have other thoughts to add on this. One of the things that I would hope that brothers and sisters would take seriously is the opportunity for the Quds Day rally. Right, we don't want to take that sometimes because it's not reported on the news, major news outlets. Some people think it's useless or it's not helping, or what change is really happening. But I will tell you this, that first of all, inshallah, everybody's doing it for the sake of God. So you want God to see, and if He sees, then that's enough. In addition to that, this has become a rallying point for humanity. I'll just share a little bit with you. I was in San Diego last year for the Quds Day rally, meaning for the month of Ramadan. Non-Muslims came out before Muslims, and in greater numbers than Muslims, for the Quds Day rally. Meaning the atrocities were so terrible. This is something that any human being can recognize. It was to the extent that, I mean, we don't look to Hollywood stars for inspiration. I mean, normally celebrities are some of the most godless people. Some of these people were like, just, I thought we were against bombing hospitals. I thought that was kind of a rule, right? So don't, for one thing I would say for all of us, is don't lose out on this opportunity to publicly display that you are opposed to this. Come out to the rallies, invite other people to come out to the rallies, and speak to people. That's one thing. Another thing would be to kind of give a voice to the voiceless by speaking to other people. Let other people who don't come to rallies, people who might not feel as strongly as you on this issue, that they should also not feel intimidated to express their views. So this is outside of rallies, other times of the year. Talk to other individuals, people who either believe in God, or even if they're secular. You shouldn't be okay with oppression. It shouldn't be okay that one human being that you can sit knowing that you're comfortable. I'm just reminded again of one of the sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that and when the Islamic government was there in the time of Imam Ali, the 4th caliph, what happened was that in some of his lands, then a woman was taken advantage of, meaning they came into the house. A Muslim woman, they stole some of her property, and this woman was either Jewish or Christian, and they stole an anklet from her. This is mentioned, I believe, in Nahj al-Balagha. He was so upset that this person, who was not even a Muslim, that something would happen to a woman, because we're taught in our traditions that women are flowers. He said that if a man died out of sadness because this woman's right were, and she's not a Muslim, right? Her rights are violated, then that would be proper, right? So our stance as human beings should be that. Now again, I've spoken too much on this issue, but attending the rallies and also telling other people that this is the way we should live as human beings. We shouldn't tolerate the oppression of others just because we are personally not facing that oppression. I don't know if anybody else would like to add anything.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just briefly, you know, I think the climate of anti-Islamic propaganda is at its height. And one of the side effects of that is that you have a tremendous amount of people that has become intimidated and is really afraid to express their Islam. The only way that something like this will be overcome is that we individually, okay, educate the people about what is the real Islam, okay? Because if you expect the media to do it, it'll never happen, okay? And so this whole question of what can we do as an individual, you can do a whole lot. You know, it's a saying, if you move one grain of sand, you have changed the world. And surely we can move more than one grain of sand. So one way of doing that is by letting people know what Islam is about, and don't hide your Islam in your workplace. Okay, if you're in school, you know, when you interact with people, how you interact with people, it's important that they know the truth of what it is that you're about. And then you'll find in this society and in other societies, people that's even wrong, that's on the wrong path, they have no problem showing or displaying to you what they're about. Okay? You know, the problem is that those of us that are trying to live a righteous life, we're kind of reserved. And we must share our Islam. We must share our humanity, because really Islam is really the true brotherhood of man. Okay? And it's up to us each as an individual to try to do our job to make sure we convey the proper message and proper image.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Osama, Sheikh Ali. This question is, actually there are two questions, and I'll ask them one at a time so we have time to respond for Rabbi Feldman. The first question is, what percentage of, you know, the Jewish population across the world, and it may just be your best guess or my estimates, but what percentage of the Jewish population agrees with your position of this position? Because again, with the idea that the media kind of biases us in one direction, to many it may seem like there aren't any, but obviously your proof that that's not the case, and so what percentage would agree with that stance?
Unfortunately, I have to agree that we are in the minority. And sadly enough, the vast majority of Jewish people, sadly, don't keep the Ten Commandments and don't keep Sabbath, unfortunately. And therefore, they are naturally ignorant about Judaism. And therefore, you would find that those people would support Zionism. But even though we find this majority, but there are masses of people, of seriously religious, Orthodox Jewish people, who still follow Judaism as it is and still remember the strong anti-Zionist education that is going on already for over 100 years. I invite all of you to come to New York. If you go to New York City, there is a Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. You would find tens of thousands of people, Jewish people, in one area. No Israeli flag. And you would have like dozens and dozens of synagogues, religious schools, boys' schools, girls' schools, separate, all institutions, you won't find even one Israeli flag. You come to my area where I live, you would have, I would say, 150 synagogues, maybe two with an Israeli flag, just to give you an idea what we're dealing about. You have many communities like this. And thank God, our communities are strong. We are growing within the communities, and thank God we do have an influence on others. People wake up, I would say in the last 10 or 15 years, there is a great change. People turn back to traditional Judaism, they turn their back to Zionism, they see today much more than they saw for 15 or 20 years back, where before alternative media, there was no access to anything. Nobody had no idea what's happening in Palestine. People were believing, 20 years back, people were still believing that this was an empty land, for a land without a people, for a people without a land, that famous, ridiculous slogan. But thank God today, people, when I don't agree, I don't say that internet is kosher, is halal, but at least it had this good part of it, that it gave an opportunity to people to understand. But that's basically the answer.
Could you tell your organization site address?
Yeah, the name of our organization is Neture Karta International. It's the Aramaic of the protectors of the city, or the guardians of the city, referring to the city of Jerusalem. This was given to a name to the people who stood up in the 1930s, way before the creation of the State of Israel, where the community in Palestine stood up in opposition to the philosophy of Zionism. Our website address is www.n, as in Nancy, KUSA.org. NK stands for Neture Karta. NKUSA.org. We have some flyers there, whoever would like one. And we would be more than happy to answer any questions. There's an email address on there. It's info@nkusa.org. There's information on the site. There's much more information that is not yet on the site, but at least you can have some idea what we're talking about. Our Facebook page is Neture Karta International. You can find it on our homepage. On the Facebook, we try to be up to date.
How about the community of Orthodox Jews within Israel? Like, haven't they like manipulated the texts or the doctrines in a way that's like?
You're talking about religious people supporting the State of Israel. Okay, that's a very sad point. I have to preface by saying that when you see, again, coming back to the CNN screen, when you see on CNN those settlers, those religious people with the long payas and the tzitzis, the strings hanging on the sides, appearing as strictly religious people, that's a very small, marginal, extreme minority amongst the Jewish people as a whole. They are the militant people. The vast majority of them are those who came from non-religious families. They came into Judaism, and they just simply missed the point, and they got to the point where they believe that supporting Israel is supporting Judaism. But this militant face of Judaism is not even the Netanyahu Zionism. It's way extreme, which does not represent any of us. Yes, you do have many other religious Jewish people who do support Israel, but if you really carefully monitor it, you will see that these people are not really Zionist, which is a very interesting point. Like, for example, I'm from New York. There's in New York an annual parade for Israel. It's called the Salute to Israel Parade. Maybe this year it had a new name. Anyway, they have like 30,000 people marching in this parade. Now, supposedly, if you're supporting Israel, you should march in the parade. You won't find maybe 5 seriously religious people marching in that parade. You would find modern schools, reform people. You would have mixed girls and boys dancing together, all these kind of people. But seriously religious people, maybe 5 out of 30,000. This just gives you a little bit of an idea what we're talking about. Now, these religious people in Israel who do support Israel, or I would say who take part in the government, let's put it this way, they originally, at least, their original leaders were totally opposed to Zionism. For one reason or another, they decided to join the government. And basically, the saying was, in the very beginning, that in order to fight Zionism, we have to enter the government.
Join the political process.
Right. We have to join them in order to fight them, in order to preserve our rights and to be able to preserve our Judaism. We have to join them to be able to fight them. The opinion of our leaders were totally different. If you're going to join them, you're going to become one and the same. And unfortunately, this happened to a certain extent. But still in all, these people, most of them, the vast majority of these religious people supporting Israel. Well, the vast majority maybe is exaggerated, but at least a sizable number of them would not celebrate Israeli Independence Day. They would not necessarily raise a flag in Israel. Maybe their political representative in the government would have to do it, but in their synagogues, not necessarily they would have an Israeli flag even on the Israeli Independence Day. They would try their best. Now is difficult, but they would try their best not to have the children serve in the army. But still in all, they joined the government. And still in all, and there's another very, very important point, which to answer your question. It's because of this Zionist propaganda that drives everyone crazy. Everybody loses their mind when this propaganda works, and especially this part of the propaganda, that these Arabs, they hate us all. They would kill us. They hated us ever since we existed together. They hated us even before 1948. There was the famous Hebron massacre where Muslims slaughtered Jews, even before Israel. Now, we know the history, and I would be more, it's not now the time. All what happened then, and we have documentation on this, was because of the provocations that the Zionists at the time, this was 1929, way before the creation of the State of Israel. The Zionist people intimidated fight the indigenous population in Palestine. But anyway, when this propaganda works, that unless, and people come over to us all the time and they say, you know, regardless whether you agree with Israel or not, but you have to support it, otherwise the Jewish people will be killed. And we try to explain, you know, this is not only wrong, this is dangerous to believe so. It's dangerous for all of us just to believe in falsehood, which gets people to the extent to support evil and to oppress others, which is not going to be in favor of none of us. But again, in what you mentioned, if they misuse religion, yes, they do. If they misquote, yes, they do. Many parts of the religion is being misused or confused in order to be able to be used to support this evil concept.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Feldman. As a testament to how popular this particular program is year after year, we're getting cards here at a rate at which, if we tried to address them all, we would be here at least all night, if not longer. And we've we've got other programs as well. And there's some really, really nicely pointed questions for all of the panelists that I really, really wish I could have gotten in there. I mean, they came to me just a little bit late. But it would have just added more to the dialogue. But nonetheless, I think that we've had a really tremendously positive dialogue here, and as always, are appreciative of the effort and the time of our brothers, Rabbi Feldman and Rabbi Hachhauser, who have come from far to be with us, along with, of course, our ulama, and we pray for all of their success. In again appreciation for everything that they do, and in hopes for their continued success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.